Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condo with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
Didn't need to do the extra Mr.
I'm going good. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm going great. Going good.
One-upmanship again.
Yeah. Well, you did the two misters. I thought I need to come back to them.
Yeah.
So I just had some soup, you know, a couple of crackers. So I'm feeling a little bit
edgy, a little bit wired. What kind of soup was it?
One of the little cup of soup things, like a mug shot, it's called. And it's just like pasta and tomato. And
did you down it in one when it was scalding hot?
I tried to.
Just to feel alive.
Well, then we had this thing coming up, so I was like, I need to get this down quick. And then, the pasta.
Is that your quickest dinner that you will do? That you will constitute? Are you constituting that as a meal? Sounds like I'm worried. No. Sounds like I'm worried about you now, but.
No. No, I will try and eat something else. But we haven't really got much in the house, so I don't know what I'm going to eat.
This is making for a really good episode so far.
Yeah.
my worst dinner that I sometimes do is peanut butter on toast, which is
that's survival food.
I know exactly. That's when I'm in a real rush. That's when I'm like I've literally got 5 minutes to eat something. Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of horror,
dark times.
Have you done any horrors this week?
Have I done any hard horrors?
Yeah.
So based on your recommendation, I watched Christine last week. Which is one of the John Carpenter films I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And even though it was like, it was good, like it was solid. I had a great soundtrack, yeah. I think.
It did.
I had a really good soundtrack with the 50s stuff in combination with the classic John Carpenter sound. And it is based on a Stephen King novel, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of really, really felt that. Like it was so Stephen King in terms of like, Bullies, research, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like, I don't know why, even though like obviously it's original because it was written by Stephen King, directed by John Carpenter, it just felt so familiar, but not necessarily in a way that was like nice and nourishing, in a way that was a bit like, I don't know.
Yeah. So where does it rank on your John Carpenter list?
Don't know. Maybe like just below Big Trouble in Little China, maybe for me.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to picture my list now.
Mm.
Big Trouble in Little China isn't a film that I'm massively in love with.
Yeah.
So that's probably where it sits. Just below, maybe, because it's difficult to watch a brand new John Carpenter. I mean, it's a great experience to watch a new John Carpenter film for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I will be able to do that with a few more, I think. There's still a few I haven't seen.
Yeah, for me too. I've got Starman is one I want to watch at some point. And I've still not seen Escape from New York. I've seen Escape from LA many times.
Yeah, I've seen both of those. I haven't seen what film did you tell me to watch the other day? In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. And I haven't seen They Live for a long time. So
I like that. That was fun. Especially if you like wrestling, which you do. There's that fight scene is pretty incredible. Yeah,
it's like a really long.
I think it's about 10-15 minutes long, and it's not much happens in that fight scene other than one person doing some sort of body slam while going to walk away, and the other one going no, and like you know getting up at the last minute, and then it would go back and forth like that. But it's good.
I would also like to watch. I mean, I will watch that, but I would also like to watch just because I watched both of these films when I don't think I really knew all that much about directors and stuff. So when I was quite young, so I saw Vampires and Ghosts of Mars.
Me too.
When I was quite young and just watched them for what they were, which was just, you know, obviously in terms of John Carpenter films, they're ranked pretty low.
I liked them still. Like I mean,
critically. they're critically like they would be thought of as like naff.
Some of the lowest, yeah.
I quite like bits of Vampires and I quite like bits of Ghosts of Mars, even though they're both pretty cheesy and
it's been a long time. In my mind, it's been a long time since I've seen Vampires. Ghosts of Mars, I knew at the time it was cheesy, but I just enjoyed it anyway. It's a crazy cannibal film. But
I definitely want to watch both of those films. At some point soon, just to remind myself of how potentially awful or just great they are.
Who knows?
There is The Ward as well, isn't there? Which was
I saw that not too long ago, actually.
Yeah, that was a 2010 John Carpenter. Is that the last John Carpenter film?
So he was off for like 9 years and then came back with that. And it's very confidently directed, and you know it feels like a really good filmmaker making it, but it's just a bit plain Jane, haunted mental asylum story.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. It's a bit ready salted flavor.
It is. Yeah. A bit ready salted. Yeah. Spicy enough. Yeah.
Not spicy enough.
Yeah.
Any horror guff from you?
Well, so it was Friday the 13th the other day, and I watched, I thought, you know what? I could either watch Friday the 13th to film or. Like a slasher that sort of takes from that. And I watched Behind the Mask, Leslie Vernon story. Have you seen that before?
No, that's on Shudder, though, isn't it? Is that on Shudder?
It is on Shudder, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen posters and a few bits.
It's on Prime as well, actually.
Don't really know all that much about it.
So I saw this years ago. I think maybe when it first came out, like 2004-ish, I guess. And I remember thinking, it was really like good meta slasher. So it's kind
is
of like.
It, isn't it like a documentary style thing?
Yeah. So it's a documentary about a slasher who wants to be like the next Jason, the next Freddy. And in this world, all those people do exist. So it's like he's just wants to be one of them.
Does he mention them by name as well? Sort of these
people? Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Yeah. And then. It becomes less meta and becomes an actual. The documentarians become like part of the story. It is quite good. It has aged like a little bit. It does feel very mid 2000s.
So it is mid 2000s, but for some reason I'd never heard of it before.
Well, I don't think it was very big. Like I don't even know how I would have heard of it back when I did.
It was only Shudder really that recently is sort of brought my attention to it. So
yeah, it's definitely worth it. And then I watched. Me and Kat actually watched Friday the 13th, the first one, which I don't know if I've ever seen that very first one all the way through, or even at all.
There's no Jason in that, right?
Well, there is, but like only in passing. Like he's not the main killer. It's his mum. Yeah, and
only in passing. Yeah. Jason, I'm going out to get some milk.
Outside. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. It was good fun. Like I really liked it. I mean, there's not much to it. It's the Crystal Lake camp counselor formula.
Yeah.
They die one by one. And what's his name in it actually? Kevin Bacon is one of the counselors.
Is he?
Yeah.
As one of the counselors.
And then they die, and then they have a final girl, and she gets away. I mean, that's like the formula. This is one of the ones that set that formula. But yeah. I'm thinking now I might like to go through all of them again and like watch.
How many are there?
10, I believe.
Mother of God.
I don't know if that's including Freddy vs. Jason.
How far into them would you get before you just thought, I've had enough?
Well, I don't know because I remember really liking part six. I remember going through a lot of the Jason films when I was a kid. I really liked part six. And I remember there's one when he's like, he's just the brain, like he's dead. And he's a brain that goes in people's mouths and then turns them into like the killers.
Classic.
I think it's, that would have been fun. but yeah, okay, so let's talk about today's film. So we're not going to do number 9 on the list. We are getting with the times, and we're doing the big film of the moment. Everyone's talking about it, but like, you know, in sign language. It's A Quiet Place. Directed by John Krasinski. Have you got any notes on it?
A Quiet Place is a 2018 American horror film directed by John Krasinski, and starring Emily Blunt and him. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
The film... is this the guy?
This film intro hasn't been like the most...
I don't think I've ever seen that guy in anything before.
Yeah, you have?
Because I never watched The Office. The American Office, at least.
Okay, yeah.
I know he's from that. But he's got that face where I just think, he ain't a bloody serious actor. He's got one of his faces, isn't he?
He's the guy in The Office who when...
plays Martin Freeman's character, right?
Yeah, if someone does something awkward, he's the guy who just kind of glances at the camera. I was expecting him to do that in this. Just like someone, like his son gets killed and he just glances at the camera.
Spoilers.
There will be spoilers. I'll put spoilers in the title.
Big old spoilers in this one. Maybe. There are. There are huge ones.
There will be.
So the tagline is, if they hear you, they hunt you. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. So it's basically pitch black, right?
This is the Rotten Tomatoes thing. That's soup. Splurb. My mind's all souped. Splurb.
My mind is down in that scalding hot soup.
A Quiet Place artfully plays on elemental fears with a ruthlessly intelligent creature feature that's as original as it is scary, and establishes director John Krasinski, Jim from The Office, as a rising talent. I think 95% of Rotten Tomatoes. People are saying this is as good as Alien. People are saying this is better than Get Out. I've heard people say this is better, as good as Get Out.
Get out of town.
Get out of town.
Get out of Dodge.
No, it's not as good as those films. It's good. I mean, what were your thoughts?
It's just your initial hype, thoughts. Yeah. Big time hype. Isha. I thought this was it's an interesting premise. It's a unique sort of premise. But I think it just brings up so many questions that kind of like never really get answered. And I feel like this film kind of just goes back and forth between the same sort of, it builds tension and then it sort of releases that tension in kind of the same way over and over and over again. Where you think, you know, if people have been in this scenario, they're either going to be dead immediately or they're going to be so damn good.
Mate, I snore. I'm gone.
I mean, you snore, you're absolutely screwed. Yeah. That's it. If anyone's got like a hiccup, a recurrent hiccup, they can't control. Flatulence.
Gone.
I mean, I kept thinking,
mouth breathers.
Mouth breathers. Well, if you've got a sore throat and you really, really need
you know, you've got those coughs that are really annoying. sorry.
A real dry cough. And also, spoilers, what if you have a fucking baby in this post-apocalyptic world of doom?
Well, I like that whole bit. I was like, wow, they've really gone like, what would be the very worst thing that can happen? The nail, which was the best thing in the film.
That was good. Because that was, I liked when that was signposted, I was a bit like, well, here we go. I just kind of felt like, I mean, performances were all right.
Mm-hmm.
I felt some of the kids, there were a lot of times where you're like, where are the kids and why are the parents not at their side every waking moment? Do you know what I mean? There were moments when the kids were just off, and I mean, I know they kind of trying to play out that they were doing A, B, or C, but it just felt a little bit. It felt a bit sporadic. The sort of rules surrounding the creatures kind of felt one way at one point, and then as the film progressed to an eventual end, it kind of felt a bit like. And also, this is one of those films where you're like, are we supposed to believe that this has wiped out the entire human population? Because again, spoilers, we get to a point where they managed to work out that it's got a weakness.
I'm pretty sure the military would have worked out that
there was a weakness. If it was as easy as that, because that would be one of the first things you think, right? Where you think, oh my God, if they're so sensitive to sound.
Do something sound related.
Yeah. Yeah. That would
be. Sonic weapons, yeah.
Yeah. So it felt a little bit, you know.
Also, we've seen that. We have seen that in Mars Attacks. And at the end of this, I was like, I wonder if they're going to play. I wonder if his head's going to pop, like in Mars Attacks. And I thought they're going to drive around in the car with the big speakers. Oh, you know, playing that yodeling music.
Yeah. I think also, like, we saw a hell of a lot of the creature. Like, obviously, that's kind of what you want to see. But at the same time, the creature design was a bit, I mean, it was a bit overly familiar. It kind of reminded me of either like the Cloverfield monster, the Necromorphs from Dead Space. Yeah, it felt a bit overly familiar. And
it made me think of survival horror games more than...
Very limby.
Yeah,
lots of limbs. And it kind of felt a bit, even though, yes, of course, it was a very interesting and unique premise. I just don't know if it was sort of there was a lot more potential, for a lot of good set pieces, a lot of good, really tense moments. I mean, there were definitely tense moments.
In some ways, this felt a bit low budget, even though I don't think it was low budget, just because it never really went. I mean, I would like to see them, more people in the film, would like to see them sort of go out more and be forced out from the house.
They definitely built stuff, hadn't they? Because I just kept thinking, how are they hammering a nail in?
That is a good point. You mean how they made the baby? Are they?
Yeah, that's totally what I meant. Basically, I could never do it without being a
squeaky bed springs.
Squeaky bed springs, exactly. Oh, we'll have to do it. We'll have to do it on the cold, hard floor again. The wood in the water. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And there were a few things I didn't quite understand as they were happening, but maybe it was just because my attention was kind of a bit... Sometimes it was one of those films that didn't keep my attention very well.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe that's my own problem. What
it
did
feels
you think?
Like sensory... mostly the same thing to me. It feels like sensory deprivation horror is like in vogue. So we've got Bird Box, which is a Josh Malerman novel, which is going to be adapted to a film. That's a film where you can't look at the bad guys, because if you see them, they will kill you. So people go around in blindfolds. This is like the ear version of that. So if you can't hear them, otherwise, no, wait, the other way around. You can't make a noise, otherwise they'll kill you. I've seen a couple of short films, Dawn of the Deaf, which is like a zombie film with deaf people. And I've got a friend who's making a short film, and it's quite far in the process, called Dead Quiet, which is this exact same concept, and this has come out now. And I'm like,
Kickstarter?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I did
as well, actually. But I'm a bit like, oh, that's bad timing. That's like exactly the thing. And this film's doing so well. But like, there needs to be like a... Next up, we've got like a smelling horror. Like, it could be called like Whoever Smelt It, and you can't smell them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they get embarrassed and they kill you.
Maybe there's some...
Smelling me?
Maybe there's some sort of like thing that goes out your nose, like this tiny little smell, tiny little thing, creatures, tiny little nanobots that go out your nose. If you smell them, you're like, oh no, and then they get in your brain and then they just fuck you up.
I like it. Taste. So it probably comes from like a new technology, like, you know, you got tactic feedback and all this kind of stuff, like where you can smell the app or smell the video and then it goes bad. It gets AI. It's like Terminator, nostril bots.
Smelling like rotting meat.
Smell net. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was good. Like I said, the scariest thing was the nail. The creature design, I just was like, maybe it is good. It just looked a bit meh to me. Like, I'm sure like I've seen that same cutscene when it cuts to those in a few games, like Rezo games or something. And also, I'd like to see what are these creatures doing. Are they just killing people? Are they eating them? What are they? Like, what are they doing to them? I think the biggest annoyance for me was the set design. It sounds like I'm coming really harsh, but this was a fairly enjoyable film. But the set design, I hated the whiteboard that's like pretty much should have just said, these are the big plot points.
Basically,
three things on that thing. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you don't, it's just not real life, is it?
Like, and the newspapers with all the headlines nicely spread out. I feel like this is like three years after the things happened. We know. Clear it out.
Clear this shit out. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You're obsessed. That whiteboard is squeaky as fuck. Armor. For God's sake, shut up.
Armor noises. Like, it just, and it's so like, I wish they should just put more words on that whiteboard. If you're going to use that whiteboard, fine. Just put a shitload of more words on there. Because just having armor noises.
Yeah, it's basically just, it was just, look, we're too lazy. we're too lazy to show you properly. So here's all the stuff you need to know.
Yeah.
Bloody Jesus.
Yeah. But okay, so the story itself said Kipe is, I will say one thing that I thought was, I thought the performances were really good. Emily Blunt, I was like, she can really fucking act. There's like, I've seen her in a few roles now, and she's always been really good. Yeah. John Krasinski, Jim, didn't look at the camera once. So, you know, he's evolved as an actor as far as I'm concerned. He plays like the dad in the family unit. Everyone plays the mum, pregnant mum. Got Millicent Simmons, a deaf actress who plays the daughter. She has like a cochlear implant, I think they're called. And then Noah Duke plays Marcus Abbott, the older son, and then Cade Woodward plays Beau Abbott, the younger son, who doesn't last too long.
I don't know if I was too keen on the kid actors there.
I can't remember them too much, actually. I'm thinking more of Emily Blunt walking, like going around the house and, you know, screaming in the bathtub, and like, it felt like a very believable sort of performance, especially standing on the nail and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, Home Alone, that reminded
me. Yeah, I was thinking Home Alone as well, yeah.
I was thinking, well, Marv, just let it out. You'd be screwed.
Yeah. So it opens with, it's a town, it's post-apocalyptic future. It's not so far in the future where, you know, Mad Max level of post-apoc. No. It's more like Last of Us level of post-apoc.
Yeah, as far as we can tell, there aren't that many people around at all. Because we're kind of like, we kind of see this family, and then we see like one or two other people later, but...
That's it. Yeah.
There's like no one around. So it's, what is it, 2020? And apparently most of Earth's human population has been wiped out by sightless alien creatures with hypersensitive hearing. And they're just like bastards.
Sort of, were you getting any sort of M. Night Shyamalan vibes? I was watching this and I was like, although it didn't have a twist ending or anything, I was totally...
Yeah, I guess so.
Something about it reminded me of like The Village or some of the sort of more like tenser... Shyamalan movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we open with they're out in this shop, all five of them, and they're being super quiet. There's like no noise for the first 30 minutes of this film, maybe longer than that. No noise at all. Apart from like little squeaks and spots and stuff like that. burp. They're rummaging around the shop for medicines and stuff like that. And then the younger son, Cade, I think his name is playing with a rocket, like a toy rocket. And then
He nearly drops it at one point.
He nearly drops it,
but then the deaf daughter, that Regan, is it Regan?
Yeah.
She catches it. Oh, bloody hell. And then the dad goes, take these bloody batteries out, you mug.
Yeah. You mag.
But then we see the boy picking up the toy again. We didn't need to see that, did we?
Nah. And then the batteries. He takes the batteries for the toy. They're walking across the bridge. He pops the batteries in. But like, I still don't know if the kid would have done that. I mean, maybe he was very young. You know kids better than me. I mean, how would he have done that? You never know.
Maybe, possibly. It's hard to say because I've never really like been around a kid in a post-apocalyptic scenario where you say, if you make a noise, you will die.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they'd listen, but I don't know, probably not. There's probably going to be a moment where they're just like, well, I like the toy. I want to hear its noise.
Yeah. I like that with the baby later on. They're like, we know what we're going to do this time. We're going to keep him asleep forever. Yeah. They put a little gas mask on him. They should have had that gas mask for him.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah.
Or just left him. When he made the noise, just gone, fuck him.
Can't he just like throw the toy?
Yeah, I thought that. But he didn't. He's trying to get to him, wasn't he? So basically, they're walking along sort of like a train track type thing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the little kid is like miles behind everybody else, which is, first of all, a bit mad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you just keep him close if there are these creatures everywhere. Because what if he just tripped and fell over? Made a noise.
Oh, Dad.
Daddy, I've grazed my knee. And then suddenly the rocket starts going.
And this thing is there within seconds. It spawns by the noise.
What's weird is that, like, surely, obviously, they appear and they hear the noise and they come after you, come to the source of the noise. But they never like stumble across anybody, do they?
No, and they're always like just out of, just within ear. Like they're never like the other side of town. And they like you make a noise and then you go, we've got 5 minutes. Or something. Do you know what I mean? Like they're just there.
They've got 5 minutes. They're on their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never really because that sort of suggests that there's absolutely loads of them around.
But there's but three. They say there's like three of them
there's
in the area.
Three in the area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously Krasinski. What's his character's name? Lee. Lee sort of runs to try and obviously scoop him up. I don't know what he's planning to do because just trying to save him. And as he's doing it, you see the creature sort of running through the woods behind him.
Yeah.
And then just snatches him away. Snatches a little boy away, takes him.
The sound design is pretty good. It just went from utter quiet to the thing. Like even when he saw it coming, it was still a jump scare. Like it's so fast inside, so powerful. And I like how you never got the feeling that like they were going to be easy to beat, these things. They do look pretty hardcore. These are towards the end of the survival horror game. These are the things you fight then.
Are the things which are just like, oh, what's going on here? Jesus. Yeah.
They aren't runts. And then it cuts to like a year and a half later. They're on the farm where they live. The farm, we sort of see more of it. We see that like they use sand. I like so many touches. They use sand on all the roads to walk them down it. You won't make any noise. They live in mostly the basement, I believe. They've got like a lights everywhere. It's camera setup. Whoever his character is called, Lee, has been working on these. He's got all these speakers and cameras, and he's got his whiteboard.
How did he do any of this without slamming a nail in?
Yeah.
At any point.
Yeah.
Unless Lee. He used Pritt stick for everything. yeah. Stuck everything up.
PVA Lee. Yeah. And then.
Also, They've got electricity. Yeah.
They have.
How? Have they got a generator?
Maybe.
Because they're loud.
I've never used a generator.
they're loud. Unless
solar,
got
solar panels.
Sort of solar panels. Oh, God. I don't think this was ever. This was something I kind of wanted to know.
Mm.
But it never was. We just got to see the whiteboard.
Well, they could have done then. So pretty soon on, Lee takes his son out to catch some fish and stuff. Why couldn't they have like them going to turn it? Like, oh, the generators have gone out. We need to go turn the generator on. And then he takes his son to do that with him. And that could have been level one.
And also,
keep thinking about this as a game.
We're kind of made to understand that if there's like another sound, which is like almost like background noise.
Yeah.
So like a river, or I guess if you had a generator and it was on constantly, it would become part of that background noise and it would mask your noise in a way.
Yeah. Can't they live by the waterfall?
That's pretty good thinking, actually. Can they not live by the waterfall?
I have something that makes a constant noise. Then again, I quite like the peace and quiet. I imagine it's quite comforting sometimes.
Yeah, comforting, but at the same time, you know that if you bloody knock anything over, which they're really good at doing, every time they've got like limbs flying everywhere, knocking things over, you're like, well, I'm screwed. That's it.
Yeah.
Jesus. I knocked over me up, Bovril. They're on their way.
So what happens here? So we see more of the family, the house, the daughter with a deaf thing, her cochlear thing doesn't work. Jim's making her a new one. Jim, I keep calling him Jim. I've known him so, like, 11 he's seasons making, of The Office.
He's making her a new one, hammering the shit out of something. Just to... no, he's not.
Yeah.
Brett's
taking the
hands.
Shit out of something. And so she doesn't want to take it. She's sick of him showing stuff in her ears. He's like, is it going to be the finger? Is it going to be your wet finger again? Because I just can't. anymore.
Just constantly giving her a wet willy over and over again. Yeah. This joke is awful. And I'm going to sign that to you as angrily as I can.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So Jim takes the son out to the river to get some fish to teach him the ways of a man in the modern world. There is a lot of stuff about like traditional family sort of things here. Like he doesn't let the daughter go with them to do the man stuff. I don't know if that was a thing they were trying to say. Middle class American family values. Not too sure.
Possibly, or maybe he was just, I don't know. It was weird.
Mm.
Maybe he felt like he didn't want her to come because he was worried about her getting, I don't know.
Yeah. So they're going to do that. Whilst they're doing that, the daughter gets super mad and then she takes the broken toy from the start of the film to the bridge where the son died, and she's gonna live there from now on, I presume. I don't know.
Yeah, just going to live on the bridge.
Yeah, like a troll. And then whilst they're out, What's-Her-Face is doing some laundry, Emily Blunt, and then accidentally pulls up the nail on the stairs.
Yeah.
This
feels like it's all towards the end of the film. Is this like the order of the film?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a bit more of them sort of setting. Yeah. They play Monopoly. They drop a fire.
Set the scene for a while.
There is, yeah. There is a bit where Jim Lee gets on the silo thing and he lights fire, and then there's like fires lighting up all around the valley. So to show you that there's more
fire's
people
got,
out there.
Fire's got a little bit of noise to it, doesn't it? Crackling.
Yeah.
Do they just know when a noise is caused by a human? They're like, fuck it out. Someone's dropped a gut somewhere. We're going now.
But then I do think it takes, I'm sure that's like half an hour, 40 minutes of the film gone. It's not a long film. I think it's like 90 minutes, pretty tight. So most of it's that. And then him taking the son to the thing, to the catch the fish, that's quite a way into it, I think. So whilst they're out there, they find a dead woman on the floor. We see a man, an old man, he's like, her guts are like hanging out and stuff. It's like, it's not gory enough to be like proper gore, but it's a bit of a tease. Like, ooh.
Yep. Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. And then he screams. He's like, fuck this. It's an easy way to commit suicide. If you like were tempted, then it's very easy to do. Flip that switch.
Ah, fucking hell. I reckon I'd go to do it and then my voice would go all high, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't used my voice for so long.
Yeah.
Hello. I did this the other day, right? I hadn't used my voice. Never got to like use my voice for like a couple of hours. I was at work. And then I was just like walking through a corridor and someone like I kind of know, just a little bit of a, you know, not really a friend. More like someone I know well enough to say hello to. Yeah. I just went, all right.
Yeah, that's bad. My voice squeaks anyway. Like on podcasts and stuff, every now and again, my voice, I can't talk for longer than half an hour. My voice starts to do this weird sort of little noise. That's another thing. So in this film, I know if you're like, you know, you're at university or wherever you're doing lectures, the time where you're trying to be as quiet as possible, that's when your stomach starts to make the most like.
What was that?
That's a good impression.
There's a frog somewhere.
Some of them Korean trumping frogs.
People find them under the desk. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You have to sleep with a pillow perfectly like strapped, like gaffer taped to your ass constantly just to dampen
tape yourself
the
shut. Yeah.
To tape yourself shut. You would.
Yeah.
You literally, like, and also, sorry, be a bit disgusting there. You know when you sit on the toilet, and sometimes the toilet acts as a megaphone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it does.
When you're trying to be quiet.
When you're trying to be quiet. When you're in, like,
when you're squeezing stuff, when you're clenching stuff, that's when it the gases really... That's when the gas is really pushing against it.
Someone outside the door. Bam! What was that?
Yeah. I'm hoping that one of the aliens to hear that noise, they're like, I'll wait.
must have shit. Like the side of the house into like a pile of sawdust. Wouldn't they? That's what they'd have to do.
And also the diet's weird. It's like all like mushrooms found on the street and... like raw fish and stuff.
Yeah,
There's no roughage in that diet at all.
Oh, I really want those. Oh, I really want those Doritos. Well, you fucking can.
Oh my god, crisps! Can you imagine eating a packet of crisps? You couldn't.
Eating a packet of crisps would be a nightmare.
Yeah. Someone told me that like crisp packets.
In a world I want to live in.
There's a science around crisp packets where they will rustle, no matter how. Vigorously you get the crisps or how gentle the decibel level of the rustling will always remain the same, just in the way the crisp packets architecture
is. Did you get anything while you were watching this film?
No, I didn't. No, I had a bottle of water. I'd be dead. There's a girl who there's a jumpy bit and she had this popcorn and it went she like choked the popcorn and yeah, you saw it rise, but
it's real. Different.
Yeah,
such a cliche.
Right, like a couple of like little kernels rise above her head in the shadow.
Snatched them out of the air before she had a chance to realise that they'd gone.
Like a chameleon, my tongue sort of unfurled and brought it back. Yeah, my eyes sort of going that sideways.
Basically, you're in your eyes. Basically, you can't do anything. You can't do anything fun in this world.
No.
If we live in a world where you can't have crisps and you can't have a shit in peace, then I'm afraid this ain't the world I want to live in.
You pronounce shit and piss weird then. Shit in peace.
Shit in peace.
Okay. Where are we in the film?
So she starts going into labour, Evelyn, and then she like smashes a picture. At this time, she smashes like a picture frame, and I just think, stop smashing stuff. Someone smashed like a lamp earlier, and then someone smashed a picture frame. For God's sake, be careful. I know you're going into labour. My God.
Yeah.
So she starts going into labour, and then the nail, which obviously we saw come out of the floorboard earlier, she bloody steps on it.
It's like a long nail, and it goes right up. It must be into the bone. Oh. I don't understand how it's not. Yeah, that's bad.
And then manages to like not scream into. She's having contractions. Clearly,
she holds the scream in. I like how she manages to hold that the pain, the scream for the pain of the nail, right until she gets into that bathtub until the firework goes out, and then she can finally let that scream out.
Yeah,
it's got nothing to do with the contractions at all.
Ah!
Oh, my bloody foot!
You're terrified of fireworks. That's the truth. The fireworks are going up. She's like, ah! She's like a dog. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're underplaying like how tense this bit is, where she's in labour, she's stepped on her bloody nail, she's scared of fireworks, and all the time there's like one of these creatures just like clicking around.
Also, would you not like close everything so that the creatures can't get in?
They haven't got hands, have they? I'm sure they could work their way in.
The doors are open, so they seem to just be able to just appear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another thing that's annoying. You should like, she goes down the basement. If she just closed the bloody door at the top, maybe it wouldn't have got in. All the doors are open. Were you born in a barn? Shut the door after you.
The door's open again. And then so the fireworks go. Okay, so we need to go back, I think, to Jim Lee and his son. So all this is happening at the same time. It's like lots of moving parts here. They are out. In the thing that they see the guy in the town and his wife's dead, he starts screaming. I think he should have sang a song. I think like
yodeling.
Everyone seems to like just saying, if I just scream, why would you want that to be like your final noise? I would sing like my favorite song. Yeah. I don't know what it'd be at the time.
I'd sing Welcome to the Black Parade, My Chemical Romance. When I was a young boy.
My How father. How far can you get in it?
To the city. To see a march. Shut! That's how quick it would happen.
Yeah.
You would not be able to get to the chorus because it's like a minute and a half. You'd be dead.
You'd be dead for the chorus. Unless you start on the chorus.
Unless you start, yeah, you'd have to. Yeah. Carry on, we'll carry you.
Yeah. So the guy screams, the thing comes and kills him while Lee takes his son and hides. And then they start to make their way back towards the house, the farmhouse. At the same time, she's turned the lights red.
So she's turned the lights red.
Which I like that touch as well. It's good.
Yeah. Shit, is it the fan?
Yeah.
So, oh my God. And then what does he do? He goes and sets off the fireworks at this point to be the diversion to find Evelyn. I won't want to keep fireworks around.
No. So while those fireworks go off, she is in the bath screaming at the fireworks. And then she has the baby. She takes it downstairs. They've got like a little soundproof basement or something.
Why are they not in there 100% of the time?
Yeah, and then there's one of those things. I don't know, I think that's a little bit later on. One of those things finds its way in again without hands.
Yeah, but we see that as they're getting into the basement, they're sort of they are sort of roaming around. This was very, when you said it was a Shyamalan vibe, I got the Signs vibe quite a lot,
right,
mainly because there was obviously a cornfield. But obviously this stuff in the house as well, where they were kind of like trying to hide as these sort of, they were quite slow moving and stalky when they're walking around the thing, weren't they?
Yeah. It was quite kind of tense. I think wasn't there a bit where it's like kind of pushing its face? There was a very alien bit actually. I'm sure there was a bit when it pushed its face into hers, pretty much.
I remember that. No. But yeah, Lee. So they have the baby. They put the baby in like a little soundproof box.
They gas it. There's a little gas mask. You have to put it to sleep. It starts crying. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was air. I thought they put it in like a soundproof box, and then that was a little gas for it to breathe.
Oh, right. Because it started to cry, I thought they were like, go back to sleep. I thought it was like a quick off button.
What a life, Just be asleep constantly. And then Lee leaves to sort of go and find the other children, like obviously the deaf girl, and then his other son, I don't know what happened to him in this scenario, but he ended up off somewhere, didn't he? Did you not find this bit a bit jarring when Evelyn's like asleep with the baby, and then she just wakes up and
it's flooded.
Is it flooded? How did that happen?
I think she ran a bath. There's a couple of things around here that don't make too much sense to me. So she ran a bath, I guess, after she had because there's blood in the bath after she had the baby. She was like, I better clean that up. Probably left a tap on then. That's the only thing I can think of.
I was just confused because suddenly the basement was filled with water, and I was a bit like, what's happened here? Like, are we supposed to just think that this is the kind of thing that just happens?
Well, yeah.
It does, but...
Maybe. Cellars do flood. And then the thing, when she wakes up and it's all flooded, and like she's hiding with the baby from the... There's a creature in there. Again, the creature's just in there. What happens to that creature? Like, I don't even know if there's any particular noises that... Because there's a bit where she's just sort of hiding from it, and then the next it's not there.
Yeah,
I guess
she kind of went behind. The water was kind of like trickling down from somewhere, and she managed to get her baby. And
yeah.
I mean, this was kind of tense, but at the same time, it was a bit like it felt like an excuse just to give us a nice close look at the creature.
Yeah,
which I don't think we needed. We definitely didn't need it as many times as we got it.
Sort of too much. Yeah. And had like
sort of too much. That, like when I'm looking back at it, when I'm thinking back to it, it looks like a shitty PlayStation 2 cutscene in my head.
The way they move reminded me of the licking things off Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, they were very much like lickers, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so she wakes up from a nap.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. She gets away from that one there, goes upstairs, I guess. And then the dad is looking for the kids. And the kids are on top. They've gone on top of the corn silo.
Yeah,
is that right?
And then they're on like a grain top of a grain silo, and they like light a fire to obviously show their father where they are.
Yeah.
And then they like, both fall in.
One of them falls in.
Sorry.
And then the other one jumps in to try and save her. Save him. Yeah.
But then they like clink. There's like, the door to the silo like falls on them as well, and they both like, they use it in a very Jurassic Park way.
Yeah.
So like it was very much like T-Rex attacks the Jeep and they use the glass to protect themselves. Well, yeah. Obviously not using it, but that was a rip off of that really when the creature was trying to get to them underneath the door.
But
then Regan's like cochlear implant, like I guess I'm not sure exactly what happens, but it just starts reacting.
She just turns it on or something. I think the way the creatures work, the way they find stuff. By the way, it's getting very dark in here.
It's pretty dark. You're right.
Yeah. The way they find stuff is through echolocation, so they make a noise and it bounces back. So yeah. I'm guessing it was making a noise that resonated with some frequency thing in her thing. And it was feeding back, like a feedback loop or something like that. I don't know, but that's what I'm guessing. And then it sort of finds that really painful. It's like, oh, all me is. And then it runs away. Also, the heads have like this weird armor thing. I think we see this at this point, where it's like there's the head and then there's like armor sort of. That's a weird idea, isn't it? Sort of the armor sort of comes away from the head when they're listening for stuff.
Yeah, it's all like almost like it opens up and it's sort of like floaty. Yeah. And that's not their obvious weakness. And you're thinking, no one picked this up, that this was their weakness.
Yeah.
Someone would have. There's smart people in the world, Luke.
There are. The thing goes out of the, bursts outside. So they have an exit to the silo. They get out, they meet the dad, they all hug. And then they have to get in the car.
They're pretty much going back towards the house. And then I think the creature's like still sort of following them for some reason. Lee attacks it with an axe, and the two kids get in a pickup truck.
Yeah, that was the Jurassic Park bit when it was attacking him in the car.
Flipped
it over and stuff. Yeah. And then Lee does the old heroics when. His scream is the scream of when you haven't said anything for a while.
Oh, yeah,
it's a bit of a Georgia Jungle triad.
It was one of those where, like, does he really need to sacrifice his life to save them? There, does he need to just give himself up? Like, really?
Yeah. It felt a little bit emotional. It felt a little bit like I don't know.
Because also Evelyn is watching it on the CCTV at this particular point, which I kind of thought. You know what I mean? It just felt.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where you're just a bit like, oh, come on.
Oh, come on. Come on.
So he sacrifices himself and gets killed by the thing. And then for some reason, Regan and Marcus, the kids, they just like they just take the handbrake off of that truck and it just rolls down the hill.
Is that like a part of a plan? Like, is that like the. But then.
Why does it roll down the hill silently? What's going on?
I guess. It's going over the cornfields. So it would make a slushy sort of noise, but I don't know.
It's one of those things that you're just like supposed to just believe it doesn't make sense. I think this film should have taken a lot more care to try and really make certain things seem like there's absolutely zero sound, or they've prepared for it this way and this way.
Yeah,
but I just think it kind of felt a little
marshmallow
bit
shoes.
Marshmallow shoes, yeah. Marshmallow everything. Marshmallow suit.
Yeah. So. Jim Lee's dead at this point. He's been maimed, eaten, whatever happens.
Sliced up.
Yeah, these things, by the way, look like, you know, there's those drawings people do with like, oh, this is what Pokemon look like if they were evil and real. Scyther. There's that Pokemon called Scyther with like the blaze hands. This is like the real evil version of that. Reminded me of that, yeah.
Scyther's pretty evil as it is.
Yeah. Scyther. And they go into the house, but then things are still coming. People are still making bloody noises, so they're still coming. This is the first... I didn't realize this at the time until I read the Wikipedia summary. This is the first time Regan had been in the basement. It's the first time she'd seen the whiteboard. And
Oh, right, okay. That wasn't obvious, was it?
Well, there was a bit earlier in the film when she was going to go down into a basement.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't think it was made very clear that that's where...
No, it wasn't. It was in a different house? It seemed like it was in a different house.
Yeah, it was a bit like I wasn't sure. The geography of the house was a little bit.
It was a bit disorientating. Really, I didn't really know where they were. Everywhere kind of looked different. Every scene looked a little bit like they were just in a different house in a different place. It didn't feel homely.
Yeah. So the thing's still coming. There's one coming right at them. I think it's downstairs now. It's like, I'm gonna get you. And then she looks at the whiteboard and it says like noises or something like that. Like it says noises hurt it or something.
Hates noises. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. There's a bit of the whiteboard where it's just like, I can't remember, but yeah.
But then she works out that like her cochlear implant starts to do the same thing again. And the thing's like, oh, my head. And if I was her, I would be like that. You know, like Professor X from like the cartoons. Just exactly. To sort of do the action.
Yeah, feel like a superhero.
Exactly.
And it's like, bloody hell, I've got a bloody terrible migraine. I was out on the sauce last night. Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. And then the thing, like, it's sort of like confused, drunk, and then looks at him, tongue hanging outside, and then what's her face? Emily Blunt shoots one off on its face.
Yeah, she's got a shotgun now. Did we see the shotgun before? I think we did, didn't we? A couple of times.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
Lee had it. She turns into like Rambo or some shit and just like blows its brains out, and then they look at each other like, oh yeah.
So the ending. So the ending. I've got to ask if you think it was a good ending or like a bit of a naff ending, where what's her name realizes she's got a big speaker system to plug a cochlear implant into, and then Fingy's cocks the shotgun, and like there's the other two are coming towards the house. Through the CCTV footage to see that, and she just cocks a shotgun and then says something like, come get some. Not that, but like, you know, one of those sort of equivalent moments.
Come get some. I mean, come get some.
Yeah. Two signs it.
Like, get some. Awkwardly puts the shotgun down, signs it, then quickly puts the shotgun up, cocks it, and then points the gun at the screen. I don't know.
Shoots the screen.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of that ending?
Nah.
It reminds me of the ending to the Grey, but the Grey did it in a much better way. When it's like the final fight scene doesn't happen, like it only gets to that point. Yeah. But I really like the way the Grey did it. But this,
so a bit like. Do you remember the end of the original Resident Evil film when she comes out to the Raccoon City and just this is like absolutely ruined and it just pans out showing the devastation and she cocks a shot and says, "Bring an arm, motherfucker."
I did have a fear, like at some point, one of them, the little boy, the one who dies at the start of the film, he said, "We're going to escape on a rocket ship." Like, at some point, he makes that reference. And there's the imagery of the little rocket ship toy and stuff. And then there's a bit where Jim, I was like, I live in a weird corn silo, like, somewhere where there could be like a secret base or something. And I did have a weird fit. You know, when like they're on the top of the silo and they've got the fires going, you see all the fires around. I was like, I wonder if they're like, on top of a spaceship, like a rocket ship, and like it's gonna like open up and they're gonna escape, all the families escape in this rocket at
just
the end
into space,
because I was getting the Shyamalan vibes. I was like,
what's the twist destination coming? Obviously gonna fly into space, and in space no one can hear you, no one can hear you scream in space, so it's fine.
2020 is the year, so I mean we'll be living on Mars by then. I reckon
we'll just be we'll just be brains in
and
jars.
Then they'll go into the cockpit and Elon Musk will be there and goes, don't worry.
Don't worry about it. I've got.
And then SpaceX, like a big SpaceX logo, flies across the screen.
And then he drops a nuke on planet Earth. Solar powered nuke. Yeah, exactly. Strongest one.
Yeah. Okay, so cool ending or naff ending? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I wasn't particularly keen. I thought it was all right, but you know.
Okay, cool. Trivia. You ready?
All right.
So this is a very new film, so there isn't that much trivia to choose from here. So John Krasinski, the director and actor in the film, he said that his wife, as he said cut, when she screams at the fireworks in the bathtub, Emily Blunt says something amusing. Can you imagine, can you have a guess of what she might have said at that point? So she just screams, fireworks, cut!
Cut. This is different. They're usually true or false, these ones. So I'm pressure. She says, fucking hell. She says, give me a clue.
It's the kind of thing you ask someone at the office.
What was that? The kind of thing?
The kind of thing that you ask someone at the office, like a random, you know, not like a filler conversation that you say whenever you see someone. Oh, what are you?
What's the weather like?
Close enough. Well, it's not close enough. It's not close at all. What's everyone having for lunch? So she did this. And it went cut. It went, oh, what's everyone having for lunch? That was the. I don't know how you would have got that.
What an absolute card she is. Know, she's crazy, isn't she?
Crazy.
She's given birth out of her.
And she's obsessed with lunch for some reason.
She's obsessed with lunch. She's just been thinking about it. She's screaming, but she's thinking, oh, I could murder a Dairy Lunchable.
Okay, here's a good one. So guess who was the motion cap actor for the creatures? We talked about him before in the show.
It's not Andy Serkis, no. It's obviously not Andy. Doug Jones.
No, it's John Krasinski, the director and actor. I told you, we talked about him in the show, in this episode, actually.
Oh, I thought you meant on the show, as in like on the 50 episodes of the show. I had to go back in my head to the 50 episodes to think about every person we mentioned. Every motion capture. See, you threw me off because you mentioned Andy Serkis in almost every episode. You can't have a motion capture.
Well, that's sort of the point of the...
He was really... Well, John Krasinski was really good at walking on his, like, fingertips and to... crab man.
Yeah. So, there are exactly 57 noises in this film, true or false?
57 noises? What do you mean? Just, like, different noises and the source of the noise?
57 noises.
False.
Could be true. I've just made the number up. So
could be true.
But let's go false.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another true or false one. This was supposed to be a Cloverfield film. True or false?
That's false, isn't it?
No, it's true. Early on in the development, they were pitching it as a Cloverfield film. And then at some point, they said, no, it doesn't quite fit.
I thought that was a dirty rumor.
No. It would kind of make sense as a Cloverfield film. I think it might have been a bit close to 10 Cloverfield Lane, but it would. Why not make a Cloverfield film?
Also, it like kind of like changes the idea of how the Cloverfield monsters work, like hunting by sound. Oh, and also,
good.
Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
It would be, but it probably would be a better Cloverfield film than the Cloverfield Paradox. Then,
Okay, so the final question: to capture John Krasinski's final screams, the one that saved his kids, they used the sounds of pigs, Quint's fingernails on a blackboard, a singing crow, and the screams of John Krasinski. True or false?
It's got to be true because that combination is, you know, that's enough to make someone actually give birth. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I recognize the fingernails on the blackboard bit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. The Wilhelm scream. I think I got a bit of that in there.
There's always a Wilhelm scream.
Okay. You've got to grade it, film. You've got to grade the film, dude.
You've got to grade it, film.
Okay, it's the soup. It's the soup.
I don't. Bad soup. Soup's gone to bad juju. I think this film isn't going to live long in the memory. It's probably not a film that I would ever watch again. And I don't think it deserves most of the hype it's getting. I mean, it was watchable. It was a good way to kill some time, and it was a fairly unique premise. But I just think it frustrated me a bit.
Yeah.
Brought a lot of questions up. And just what didn't feel, even though it's original concept, I feel like it borrowed a lot from other films in order to sort of get to where it needed to go. And it was just a bit underwhelming. Yeah. I'll probably give it a C-.
Fair. Okay. So I'm the same as you, really. I think it was a pretty good film. It was fun. It felt a little bit sophomoric in a lot of places. Like the set design felt a bit amateur-y, a bit student filmy. The creature design, I didn't think it was all that, but it was fun, and it was a good effort. So I'm going to give it a C.
C for effort.
Yeah, and I think like 95% Rotten Tomatoes is ludicrous. Like you can't.
That is nuts. What could that be? Because is that audience score or is that?
No, that's audience score is 87%. So it's still pretty good. Just, but I think that's about right.
Sometimes with these horror films, especially audience scores, if a film gets a bit of hype, like a lot of people who go to watch it, like aren't. Do you know what I mean? It's just like people who aren't really horror fans, but they enjoy the like a nice jumpy film or a nice scary film.
Maybe that's why it reminded me of Shyamalan. Because it's not a horror film, but it's a jumpy film. You know what I mean? It's like it's that same genre of what's the word I'm looking for? Not like a tense, jumpy horror-ish thriller.
Yeah,
with some sci-fi.
That's exactly the genre you're looking for. and you know, I mean, it's a thriving genre.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So next, we probably are going to jump back into the list. Number 9. working our way through there, we're going to be talking about Guillermo del Toro's second film on the list, Pan's Labyrinth, which I think I've been looking forward to this film quite a bit. But I've seen it so many times that, and fairly recently, that it's like, do I even need to watch it again? I know it.
I've not seen it for a little while, so it'd be good to watch it again.
Cool. All right, man. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners for listening. Thanks. Don't make a noise because they'll get you. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thanks, Luke.
Is that goodbye? I figured
I'll see you when I see you. If I don't see you for a week, I'll see you for a window.
Maybe when I saw someone doing that to me, they were just saying goodbye. I thought they were threatening me.
Yeah. And then you punch them.
Cool. All right, man. See you in a bit. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.